Hi, I'm Pam Sidhu here at Sudbus Radio. Now, my next guest, I have been following his career personally myself since the 90s. He inspires us. He lifts us up with his music. He breaks through barriers. He has been credited as being being the first musician to play Indian classical on a piano. He's also been known as the fastest keyboard player. And this is not even getting to what he's delivering with his voice. The man really needs no introduction, so I'm going to go straight to it. Here is Adnan Sami. Hi, Adnan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Really well. Amazing to be talking to you right now.
Same here. Absolutely. It's wonderful to be talking to you as well. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming. And, of course, you have a lot of fans here. Whenever we play your music, we get so many messages coming in. We get so many calls coming in. There's one particular song that I'm going to go back to a little bit later on. I can't help myself. It's something that I have followed for years. I'm sure you could guess which one it is, but we'll go there shortly. But first of all, for those of you that are watching this right now, you're in a beautiful studio. Tell us, where are you?
I'm in Madrid right now. And I'm here for some work and just soaking in the sun, of course, and having a good time as well.
Okay. I mean, of course, you are here to speak to us about your new song, which I'm very excited about. We're going to speak about that in just a few moments. Yes. But let's go back, because, of course, you mentioned growing up in England. How did it all start? How did the creative process for you begin?
I don't belong to a musical family as such. I mean, forget about music. My family has got nothing to do with the entertainment business in any form. My great-grandfather, we basically originally come from Afghanistan, a place called Herat in Afghanistan. And my great-grandfather was the first cousin of King Amanullah, and he was governor to five provinces of Afghanistan. And my father was a diplomat, and he was ambassador to 14 countries. So we ended up spending our childhood, in particular, literally country hopping, you know, because every three odd years the posting would change, and he would go on to another. We would go to another country and settle in. The thing was, but however, having said that, my family have always been huge lovers of the arts, music, literature, poetry, and regardless of whether it's Western or whether it's Eastern. And so there was always a lot of music in the house. And, so the thing was that whenever you go to a new posting in the world, the ambassadorial house, the residence, is a furnished, it's already there. It's a furnished, fully furnished, functional house. All you have to do is just come in with your clothes, with your personal belongings, a few photographs here and there, and then you personalize the whole thing and it becomes your home for the next 3 years or whatever. Now, what happened was that when we shifted to Portugal in Lisbon, the ambassador's residence was, of course, it was also a beautifully furnished house. That house happened to already have a piano there. And, it just sort of came with the furniture, you know. And my father was delighted because, my father loved music, like I told you, but he never played it or, never pursued it in that sense. I was 5 years old at that time. And in fact, I was not allowed to touch it because I was too young to touch it, you know. And of course, when a five-year-old is told not to touch something, first of all, he will definitely touch that, right? And if he happens to be a Leo, which I am, he will touch it and he will roar on top of it. it's like a conquest, you know. So I used to sneak in, and whenever there was nobody in the house, from the parents. I used to just sort of play around with it as a almost like a toy, and slowly and gradually I started to make a bit of sense of the keys, and I was able to figure out that I can make a tune out of, you know, I can play out a tune in this, you know. And so slowly, gradually, on the sly, I started picking up a few little tunes here and there. How I got caught in this entire process was that my father came back one evening, you know, from the office. And when he, you know, I mean, you know, he had a piano in front of him and he loved music. So, you know, one evening when he came back, he sort of was relaxing and he just decided to just sit on the piano and try out a little tune, you know. And a popular tune of that time, you know, and I had already sort of figured out that tune on the sly, you know, and he was making a mistake while he was playing it. So I kept telling my father, I said, Baba, you're making a mistake here. And he would just look at me, give me a look and just sort of brush me away. You know, what does he know? You know? And but I was like, I was absolutely stubborn and adamant that you're making a mistake. And he was like constantly trying to brush me away. And finally, you know, just to get me off his back, he turned around and said, okay, so what's the mistake? So I came and I very proudly showing off played it. And I played it right. And he was like, wow, but when did you, were not supposed to touch this. You know, so in the process, while I was trying to show off a la Leo, I got caught. But instead of getting punished for it, you know, he realized, and he was very delighted actually, that, you know, my God, you know, I mean, he's able to play. And so I was then, from then onwards, I was allowed to touch and play the piano, provided I washed my hands every time before doing it. And that, you know, sometimes, you know, things that you pick up as a child remain with you for the rest of your life. Today, before I touch a piano, I have to always wash my hands. It's just one of those things because it just got embedded into my system right from then onwards. But that's when I started playing at the age of 5. And I think around by the age of 7, I composed my first tune, you know.
That's just such a beautiful story. The fact that you moved into this house, there was the piano. That is where it all began. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. And some things are just meant to be, aren't they? But thankfully for us, that happened. Yeah. What a great story. Yeah. Well, you've given us many hits over the years. And I'm not going to go into naming them because there's just so many. So much music that you've given us. As I mentioned at the beginning, I have followed your music through from the 90s. Wow. All the way through from you know, college days, listening to your music in college, it was like, wow, this is just it was groundbreaking. And the song that completely was a game changer for me, for so many people that I met. Even today, when I play this one on the radio, I will get people messaging me, calling up, going, oh my word, you know, you just totally lifted me up. Yeah, it's all there in the language. You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Please do tell us, how did Lift Grade come about?
I always say this, and it's the truth. All of my independent songs, not the film songs, but the independent songs, all of my independent songs are actually, in a way, autobiographical. You know, I mean, they all represent a certain moment in my life that I actually went through. You know, so whether it is Kabhi Tum Nazar Mila, whether it's the Bigi Bigi Raat Mein, I mean, I actually composed that song in the middle of the rain monsoons of Mumbai. So, I mean, it's not one of those contrived things that, all right, I'm going to write a, let's write a rain song today. No, it was actually raining outside when I got inspired to write it. So all of these songs have had this profound impact on me. And so therefore, what I'm not able to say in words sometimes, I feel that music is one of my best mediums in which I can express myself. So Lift Karate was a time when I actually needed a lift in life. I was looking for a break. I was looking for a break to come out and come out to the rest of the world. And as we all are at times cynical. The interesting thing is, before I came up with the title Lift Karate, my working title for this song actually was Dua.
It is, you know? The whole thing, the whole song is a duada.
Yeah, exactly. So you see what happened, but you see, it's just that, you know, rather than, you know, doing those, you know, a very serious kind of a dua, you're having a conversation with him. And it's a prayer. And he's saying it in a slightly fun way. And he's sort of, he's also, he's doing a little bit of buttering, you know. You know everything, you know, you're the best, you're the biggest, which he is, but he's sort of making all that very, very clear. Yeah. And then while he's praising him, and he's like,
could you please okay. just sing some of it for us?
तेरी ऊंची शान वाला मेरी अर्जी मानने वाला तू ही सब कुछ जानने वाला मैं हूँ तेरा मानने वाला मुझको भी तो लिफ्ट करा दे थोड़ी सी तो लिफ्ट करा दे कैसे कैसों को दिया है ऐसे वैसों को दिया है मुझको भी तो लिफ्ट करा दे थोड़ी सी तो लिफ्ट करा दे
Excellent. And right now, we're at that point where you've got a new song.
Yes.
And it's, well, you know what? I'm not going to say anything about it just yet. I'm going to let you do the talking. Tell us about it. Alvida.
Well, you know, Alvida is actually, although it, the irony is that the title of the song is Alvida, which means goodbye. But it's actually in my musical phase, this I feel as if I've actually walked in, commenced a new phase of my musical career, and I chose to embark on this new phase with a song that actually says goodbye. I mean, it's a contradiction in terms, really. But this song, this is the beginning of many new releases that are going to be happening in close succession, and I wanted to create a song which was about heartbreak, and I wanted it to be far more profound than just simple romantic breakup or a parting of the ways, as you will. I wanted it to be a little bit more deeper than that. That, you know, it's the pain that you go through of losing any kind of loved one, you know, whether it is a romantic partner or whether it's a parent, you know. I mean, when you lose somebody who's very close to you, I wanted the lyrics and the words and the music to reflect the emotions that anyone goes through in such a situation. Of course, in the context, the forefront context is obviously romantic breakup. But if, you know, I wanted the lyrics to be written in such a manner that if somebody wanted to relate another emotion of parting with a loved one, the lyrics are generic enough and general enough that they could be able to actually relate to their own life with the song. And I think when I got together with Kausar Munir, who's written the lyrics beautifully, she understood that whole sentiment of mine, and she wrote beautiful lyrics. And so that's how Alvida came about.
The composition to this one is, it's different. It's very powerful. Another really powerful one. Tell us about, how did the composition come to you?
I've had my share of heartbreaks, you know. I've been through a roller coaster of a life, which, of course, having said that, I mean, I would want to definitely say that I have no regrets. But it has been a journey. I've lost a lot of people in my life, you know, while growing up. And, breakups are not easy, regardless of whether it's a romantic breakup or whether, I mean, in 2009, I lost my father. I was very close to my father. And so, I had a lot of that emotion sort of bottled up inside me. And I, as a musician, always felt that I wanted to express myself musically. But I knew that I couldn't force it. Certain songs or certain emotions, you just can't sit down and say, right, I'm going to write a song about a breakup. Okay, all right. You know, it doesn't work like that. I mean, at least not for me. So I just felt that, you know, when I feel inspired enough and when it comes to me naturally, it will come. And then I will address that that composition at that time. And it just so happened that when the pandemic was happening, you know, during this pandemic, we've all lost a lot of people.
We have. There's been a lot of loss.
Yeah, there's been a lot of loss, whether they were loved ones or whether they were people from the public, world, people that we admired, whether they were, and in all kinds of areas of life. And so, you know, parting was, I mean, today people are, I mean, I certainly am one of them also, that today if I see a name trending on Twitter, I actually get nervous. I hope it's not bad news. You know, that never happened before. You know, that never happened before. Before it used to be, okay, such and such name is trending. I wonder what that's about. And you just sort of look at, check it out. But today, the first thought that comes into your mind is, I hope everything is okay, because we've lost so many people. I hope this person is okay. So, parting and breaking up, has been a very important part of our lives in general. So I think that's where the inspiration of this song came about. And so I wanted it to be romantic, and yet I wanted it to transcend just the obvious subject and make it in such a manner. And that's great, because I've received so many incredible comments and messages, and in some of them, what I wanted to achieve in many ways, I feel I did, because there were some people who messaged me saying, the song, it reminds me of my father, it reminds me of my mother, when I think about them, when I was listening to it, I was thinking about them, and that's what I wanted. I mean, of course, there were other people who were saying that, it reminded me of my breakup with my sweetheart when I was a teenager, which is fine, which is great. I mean, that song is about that.
Can we hear you sing a little bit of that, please?
Sure, sure. Yeah. Hale hale haato se haat tum chode, hale hale khwabo ke taar tum tode, hai kasam hame dil ko lootne na denge, धड़कनों से अपनी तुझको छूटने न देंगे, अलविदा अलविदा अलविदा, ना हुई तू हमारी तो क्या, अलविदा अलविदा अलविदा, हम तो तेरे रहेंगे सदा.
Adnan, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. We've taken up way too much of your time, but thank you for taking the time to speak to us at Sudbury Radio.
Thank you for all the love.